market, they're going to be much more interested in really participating in the decisions about how that money is spent.
But yet we don't have that dynamic when I and thousands of other people write their property tax check.
Oh, I see.
Once or twice a year, depending on whether they break it in two pieces.
Well, you've got me there. Maybe we just have a public apathy problem. I don't mind paying my property taxes either. I believe in having maintained roads and schools and all those kinds of things, and I think what I pay is well worth it. I probably am a minority in Alaska, but...
Other questions? Anything from Anchorage?
None.
Thank you, Carrie, for coming today and testifying to us.
Thank you.
Any others that changed their mind? Mary?
My name's Mary Bishop, 1555 Augustus Grind, Fairbanks. I'm about to display my ignorance, I'm afraid.
You represent yourself personally, Mary?
Pardon?
Are you representing yourself personally? Thank you.
First, I would like to answer a question that Senator Terrio asked with regard to myself as someone who's on a fixed retirement income. I definitely support inflation proofing as the most important and should be first before anything else is paid out. A second point that's made on this sheet in particular, on number 4, changing the lines on page 2 from lines 2 to 6. Additionally, this provision allows the legislature and the administration to know 1 year in advance the amount available for appropriation. You know, I remember from years ago, and maybe it's not so important anymore, but years ago, 10 and 15 maybe, it seemed like the legislature sat until March before they knew, or later, before they knew how much money they were going to have to spend, and the school boards were tearing their hair out because they didn't know what was going, how much money they were going to have. And we talked about forward funding of the legislature and forward funding of just the school portion of the budget. It seems to me that if you would really know how much of it was going to be available, this would be a great asset and might actually save you some time down there in Juneau. Now, I don't know if any of you have got any answer to that, or the people here who have discussed the issue. But anyway, that, I think, would be a great asset. And then would we also know the amount of our permanent fund dividend a year ahead of time? Or does this depend upon whether you as the legislature decide to spend 5% or less than 5% or 3%? And also how much you decide to spend of that total on dividends as versus regular government spending. And then this seems to allow the state to use some of this money for the regular budget, which I don't think has ever happened before. Am I correct?
No.
I'm not?
No. Okay. Every year there's millions of dollars that are spent for things like public safety, for the Hold Harmless Agreement.
That's true. That's
out of the permanent fund. I think it's somewhere around 40 million this year, somewhere around that, isn't it?
Yeah, 30.
Okay.
30 to 40
okay.
million. It's been over 50 in the past.
Okay.
So there is some money that
does
come out of the earnings of the permanent fund
earnings.
That have been used
mm-hmm.
for other things than dividends in the past.
Okay.
And inflation proof.
Mm-hmm. Now, who determines this? Is another question. Who determines whether it's going to be 5% or 4.5%? Whether and how much is going to go for dividends and how much is going to go for other things? Is it it's the legislature, but is it like a three-quarters majority, or is it just a majority? Is this all dependent upon statutory provisions that have to be designed to go with the constitutional amendment?
Senator Terrio?
There are, under discussion, there is the talk about, well, should you, of the 5%, should you absolutely guarantee a certain amount goes to dividends? And that's one of the things that right now those people that prize the dividend higher, even higher than inflation proofing, they have no guarantee or protection. So one thing that may, that is in the mix of discussion is, well, do you guarantee as part of this package a continuation of a dividend also? So the way this is worded right now is just up to 5%. The legislature could have a statutory scheme then on how you would continue to calculate the dividend, or you could retain the current statutory computation. It's the five
rolling.
It's 21% of the 5 years.
The last 5 years.
Okay.
After inflation.
So you could maintain that current statutory computation of a dividend as far as the size of the dividend. So there are many things, but as the trustees talked about, Mr. Storr, this just talks about how much money could be available and the predictability of how much money is available. How the legislature chooses through either statutory computation, a new statutory computation, or the existing statutory computation, or perhaps even putting some kind of percentage must go to a dividend. Those are all things that will be discussed also.
And it does provide a different level. Right now, the Permanent Fund Board of Trustees and its investment arm can determine the size of the dividend to a degree by determining whether or not they're going to sell these shares or they're going to retain them. Right now, the size of the realized income is a function of what the board and the executives instruct the managers to do. So you can play God with the size of that earnings now. And if you look back at 1996, you see a huge spike in an election year. Even though the market fund value stayed fairly smooth and relatively on the same line, the realized earnings went way up here all of a sudden. So you can bring a lot of scenarios into play as to why that would happen in an election year. So, there is a way here by evening and smoothing this out to be able to have a little more predictability and not necessarily at the instructions of a political arm of the state.
And 3% is a pretty safe number for inflation proofing.
Historic.
I'd like to speak to that just for a second.
Mr. Bartholomew, come on up and get on the record again.
I'm Bob Bartholomew again with the Permanent Fund. One of the items that I wish we to cover, so I appreciate the question. Our goal is to earn 5% over inflation. So where we sit today, our consultants and the market says going forward for the next 5 years, we're roughly going to earn 8% or a little bit less. And that inflation is going to be 3% or a little bit less. And so the total return of the permanent fund is about 8%. If you leave 3% in the fund, you have 5% to spend. We don't know what the capital markets might do. Inflation might go up. Sometimes when inflation goes up, how much interest you get from bonds, goes up. So our goal is sometimes inflation might go up, but we think then the capital markets will be inflating and earning more. So the goal, more so than the total return of 3% prediction for inflation leaving 5, it's a little different than that. We think our assets are invested to earn 5% over inflation. Inflation might go up or down, and we think our earnings total will go up and down somewhat similar over time, very similar. So it's 3 is the current prediction, but that could change as if we get back into an inflationary period or a deflationary period. So the real focus is the 5% over that amount.
Okay.
Other questions?
If I could respond, Mary, you also mentioned the past attempts or discussions to forward fund portions of the budget or the whole budget. And any time that the legislature can start its deliberations knowing what the size of the pot of money, it certainly helps, because you're right, we're working off projections. And in this year, we were in the middle of the current fiscal year, we were trying to set the budget for the next fiscal year. So we're trying to guess, basically, when we start in January, 18 months down the road, where we're going to be for the last 12 out of 18 months. So it's always a bit of a guessing game. The only way that you could really turn everything over so that the legislature would have absolute surety, or close to it, would be years ago, Roger Cremo floated an idea called the Cremo Plan, where not only the earnings of the permanent fund were limited by a percentage payout, but all revenues, corporate taxes, oil and gas revenues, everything went into the permanent fund. All state revenues went into the permanent fund, and you limited to a certain percentage drawn off of that every year. So you would know absolutely. But right now, with the 5% portion which could be available for general government utilization, you also have your corporate taxes, rents and royalties that you're still going to have to make a projection on. So there's always some degree of uncertainty and basing your budget on projections, and unless you somehow turn it all over to some kind of an endowment type concept.
Questions from Anchorage?
None.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Mary, for testifying here tonight. We do have Ed Hotch. Ed, are you still? Where is Ed? Saw him earlier. Okay, he's gone. Anyone else tonight? Please, come on up and introduce yourself for the record and any affiliation you might have.
Thank you, folks. Dan Rivera, 2709 Parkway, in the greatest little city in America, North Pole, Alaska. It was my intention to come here and just listen and observe. However, just for the record, since two people have come up and spoken about the possibility of a state income tax, that I would be opposed to such a thing. I am more inclined to go towards a sales tax, which I would think would spread the money out to municipalities, as well as if we need to bail the state out, then it would be a better way to do it. In the presentation tonight, I think that this amendment looks good to me. I think it's been very well presented, and I'm okay with that. But not to take up any of your time, just so that two people wanted a state income tax, just for the record, I want, no. I'm more for a sales tax, as per my senator.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank Any you. Other questions from him? Anyone? Hearing none, thank you very much, sir. We're going to have further meetings in other communities. We'll have a meeting in Anchorage. We'll have a meeting probably down on the peninsula or in the Anchorage area, maybe combined. Juneau, maybe someplace else in the state. We're going to try to get testimony from people all around the state on the issue as we go through the interim. And so I'm not going to, at this point, ask for testimony from those folks who are on the net from the Anchorage LIO or the Kenai LIO, but we do have three members of the committees, Senator French, Representative Meyer, Representative Hawker. Gentlemen, we're getting toward the end of the public testimony here tonight. If any comments that you or questions you may have tonight?
No, Senators Seekins, Representative Hawker, but we sure certainly appreciate the opportunity to participate down here.
You always have that opportunity. We try to make sure that we're all on the same page and that we're all working within the same organization here as time goes on. With that, Senator Terrio?
I was wondering if, while we've got them here and we've got people interested in the issue of the permanent fund, if I could have Mr. Bartholomew.
Sure.
As we approach the end of the fiscal year, numbers are becoming more clear on, you know, what's available. And as we left Juneau and utilized Section 17B of the Constitution to get access to the Constitutional Budget Reserve with a simple majority, to do so, we had to make an appropriation, an advanced appropriation, for the next year's inflation proofing, leaving $100 million in the earnings reserve. At the time, it looked like they were projecting that there would be $360 million in the earnings reserve. We'd move $260 as an advance deposit on inflation proofing, leaving $100 million. My staff and I both thought that that was fairly conservative with the way what was happening in the markets. And I'm just wondering now if Mr. Bartholomew can tell us what amount was necessary for inflation proofing the previous calendar year, and what amount do you think that advance deposit is going to be now? Because the way we worded it, it was everything in excess of $100 million is moved into the principal of the permanent fund. So if you could just answer those questions.
Okay, and I'll cover a couple points. So the action by the legislature was to take, after we take care of this year's dividend and this year's inflation proofing, leave $100 million in the earnings reserve, and then we will move the rest into the principal where it cannot be touched. And then in the letter we got, which was trying to give us some perspective and explanation to why that action was necessary, one of the components was, yes, we did take money out of the earnings reserve and we moved it into principal, and we're going to be looking at that as an advance payment towards next year's inflation proofing, because at the same time, as a part of that, we repealed next year's inflation proofing appropriation and moved that payment ahead of year. Since that time, well, back up. So just to give you the perspective of inflation, last year it took $600 million to fully inflation proof. This June 30th that will end here in less than a week, is going to we're predicting it's going to take $350 million to inflation proof. Looking forward to next year, I think we're looking at around $550 million to fully inflation proof. All these are projections. At the time that the legislature made the decision, we projected the sweep to be $250 million, so that you would have paid half or a little less than half of next year's inflation ahead of time. The only change since then, as the markets have changed and as our managers have made decisions, the amount of realized income has risen, and we expect that transfer or sweep now to be roughly $350 million. So we're going to sweep more, and we're going to, and that will be, if you apply that to inflation proofing, then there'll be less needed next year. And the only other comment is, when we get to next year, it is the balance that's in the earnings reserve, which will be the $100 million that we're going to start with. What will we earn next year in this realized earnings? When we get to the end of the year, that will determine how much is available for the legislature for dividends or inflation proof.
And can we just talk a little bit about the $600 million for inflation proofing, then it bounces, it goes down to $350 million, and you're projecting it goes back up to $580 million. What's driving most of that? Are you tracking along with what is happening in the economy? Because I don't think the Federal Reserve is projecting a big bump up in inflation. So is it more likely that you have overestimated what's going to be needed, that the 580 is probably quite a bit more than will be needed next year?
I think the executive director would like, I think if you're looking at next month or next year, you maybe could make a statement like that. But what we try to get away from is one-year windows. So when we talk to our consultant, we look out at 5 years, and we say, what do you expect to happen over 5 years? So we're projecting inflation over the next 5 years to be 2.6. So when I estimate to you that it's going to cost $550 million for inflation proofing, it's based on a five-year average. We know that month to month, you know, inflation goes up and down, and we don't change our projections month to month. So in the short term, it's looking like inflation will be lower. What's it going to be in 2, 3, 4 years? Those are the numbers that we try to use to keep things a little more stable, use a five-year average. Our total return is based on a five-year return.
And Mr. Storrs, if I could expand on what Bob said is absolutely correct. We use a longer time horizon. Reality, the inflation number we used for this fiscal year was 1.58%. And it's based on a calendar year, so we already have almost 6 months of data. What I expect is that would be a maximum number. In reality, inflation is coming in below 2% still. So I would expect that to be maximum, and in reality, probably less than.
Okay, so. And you mentioned calendar year. We do the inflation proofing based on a calendar year. All our budgeting is done on...
The inflation number is based on a calendar year.
The
rate of change of inflation on a calendar year period.
And we are 6 months basically through that, so...
That is correct.
Every month that ticks away now, we're more and more assured that it's not going to be up around 580. It's probably going to be around 350 to 400.
I think that's a reasonable estimate.
So we made an advance deposit, which will turn out to be about 350. It's going to come in pretty close to the being on the money.
I don't have a problem with that.
Okay. Any other questions? Comments? Anything else that we need to discuss here as members of the two committees? Thank you very much for being with us. One other thing, I did invite Senator Lincoln. We did invite Senator Lincoln to be with us because we also have carried forward on the Judiciary Committee SJR 19 as promised. We would discuss that along with SJR 18 throughout the summer, but she was unable to attend, and so we haven't touched that subject, but we'll give her the same courtesy throughout the summer to be able to do that. So,
Chairman, how about Senator Ellis? I know he was very interested in that bill.
Senator Ellis did not respond that he would be on the teleconference. We did notify his office. We got no response. So at this point, maybe his interest is waning a little bit. I do know that Senator Ogden is out of state
at, I think, oil and gas
conference in Washington, D.C. So I know he was not able to attend and was and notified us of that. Other members of your committees, gentlemen, I'm sure have reasons for where they were and what they were doing as well. We do appreciate your attendance, Representative Jewell. Representative Jewell?
Great question. Do you have a schedule of when we'll be meeting, and if not, when do we have that?
We hope to have it. We're trying to fit into everyone's schedule the next possible meeting, and we're going to try to hit that in Anchorage. So our staff member, Mr. Hove, will be talking with your people to get the best possible time when we can get the maximum number of us together. And we got to fit it in with Representative Whitaker's traveling in 20 different places across the state, it looks like, at the same time or something like that in one of your committees, isn't it?
Hawker. I'm with you.
We'll have to try to find Hawker at one of those 20 places. But we'll try to coordinate that so we can do it as well as possible with everyone's schedule. So I will notify as quick as I can. We want to get these throughout the state during the interim so that when we go back in January, we have a good idea of where we're going to go with this bill.
Senator Seekins?
Yes.
Yeah, I was just going to comment that that we will try to continue to just dovetail onto your schedule so we don't duplicate efforts. However, we do want to have a meeting in the Great Northwest there, either in Reggie's hometown of Kotzebue or Nome, one of those two places.
We agree with that.
Okay, great.
We agree with that, and we would do
Glad
that.
To have you.
Yeah. And so I do appreciate everyone being here tonight. Representative Meyer, thank you for joining us. Representative Hawker, Senator French. And with that, we're adjourning the meeting for the night.
Okay.
Oh.